From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Middle East Christians under persecution. This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello and Joan Frawley Desmond discuss Cardinal Timothy Dolan's 7-point plan to help Middle East Christians. Also, what colleges and universities will make the grade? Dan Burke and Cardinal Newman Society's Patrick Riley give a report card to the 2015 commencement addresses. Welcome to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Elena Rodriguez, sitting in this week for Tom Price. The Register's Executive Director, Dan Burke, will lead our second interview. First, the Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, Jeanette DeMello, will start us off with our first interview. Thank you both, Jeanette and Dan, for being with us. Our first guest is Joan Frawley Desmond, and she is the Register's Senior Editor. She's an award-winning journalist widely published in Catholic, ecumenical, and secular media. And Joan is here to share her insights into what Catholics should know about religious freedom. She's been attending two forums on religious freedom in New York. So, Jeanette DeMello, lead us off, please.
Joan, you've been covering religious liberty heavily for the Register for the last few years. We sometimes joke in our newsroom that you should have an honorary law degree. But really, all joking aside, your knowledge base of the subject of religious liberty really comes from key sources that you follow regularly. And last week you had a chance to meet up with some of those sources at an event in New York. It was an event at the Hudson Institute. It was a May 7th meeting. So tell us a little bit about that meeting and who was there. What did they talk about?
Thank you for having me, Jeanette. The meeting was really focused on strategies to help support embattled Christians in countries like Syria, Iraq, and Nigeria. And it was to really highlight the need to do much more than is being done now. And the people who headlined the meeting included Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York, who, dating back to his time as president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference, has really been a leader on religious freedom issues abroad. In particular, he brought over, very early on in the whole process of Americans learning more about what was really happening to embattled religious minorities in places like Iraq, he brought over Chaldean leaders and others who were gave testimony to the U.S. bishops about what they were dealing with. And so he's continued to follow up his concern about supporting our sisters and brothers in these countries, especially since they're confronted by, Islamic terrorist groups like Islamic State.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the purpose of the meeting last week?
The purpose was to cover a number of different issues. The most important was to highlight the urgency to make the issue of religious persecution a key priority for every lay Catholic in the country. Cardinal Dolan outlined a 7-point plan, which I thought was really quite compelling. I blogged about it this week, and it's gotten a lot of attention. He said first that we need to have a sense of urgency. He said that we should never apologize for keeping the issue alive. We should be Johnny One Notes on it, and even if we keep talking about it, we need to keep talking about it even more. He said we should be supporting moderate Muslims who may worry about speaking out, that there could be some kind of retaliation, and we need to create a safe space for them. And then, of course, he also called on lay Catholics to advocate with our government and also, in commercial circles. For example, mm-hmm. he mentioned that he's spoken with lay Catholic leaders who are involved with business issues in, places like Iraq and Syria. And he said, basically they need to be advocating for religious minorities in those countries and leveraging their influence with governments in those countries to speak out on the behalf of Christians. So those are some of the issues. He also said we have to pray.
Of course, and that's a huge issue for all of us. Now, this blog that you're talking about is Cardinal Dolan's 7-point plan to stop Christian persecution, and it was published on May 12th on your blog, Joan Desmond's blog, and it offers some great tips, I think, for all of us. Now, Joan, were there any other speakers that that we should know about at this event?
Well, Bishop Mansour, who is a Maronite bishop, was there, and he has also been very outspoken in support of Christians. He's you know, the Maronites are especially strong in Egypt, and they were actually among the first to raise the alarm about pushback by extremists in Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood and others, in the context of the toppling of Mubarak's regime. And a key issue, what I have learned about when I was there, there was another scholar at the event, and who explained the dynamics in place in this part of the world where a lot of Americans may not really understand how things got to the point they did. But among the issues is the fact that these strong men like Saddam Hussein, like Assad in Syria, basically in many ways contained sectarian tensions, you know, by running these countries with an iron hand. Right. And in some cases may have exacerbated them at the same time by supporting certain groups, maybe giving favors to some groups or perceived to be giving favors to some groups over others. And those resentments then were simmering in a situation that wasn't completely free. And Christians, you know, were maybe in many cases still second-class citizens, but they had an element of security that they may now be lacking. So we're now in a new era where Christians are facing, you know, major threats to their livelihoods, to their very physical safety. They fled in huge numbers, you know, a million refugees out of Syria, hundreds of thousands have been displaced in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So all these speakers have really spoken out about that. And I guess one thing that really kind of shocked me was the view of one scholar that we may need to think about either leaving, Christians should either leave the country, which is a hard choice for many church leaders that want them to stay and keep these ancient communities right. alive, or they should stay and possibly fight, which is something the church has, I would say, offered mixed messages about, wanting more to promote peace than additional conflict.
Right. Well, obviously many of them are leaving, and this is a source of deep concern. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Joan Frawley Desmond, and we're talking about Christians in the Middle East, Christian persecution, and what we can do about it. Now, Joan, one of the things that we really must talk about is the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom's annual report. This comes out around this time every year and came out at the end of May. And this commission, you know, basically takes a pulse of religious liberty throughout the world. And what did they have to say this year?
Jeanette, I'm afraid nothing good, which won't come as any surprise to any of us who have been following the headlines. You know, I mean, we can look back on the last few months and just shocking images. You know, the beheading of or execution of laborers in Libya. You know, innocent laborers, Coptic Christians from Egypt, working in Libya. Video showing them executed by Islamic State in really brutal propaganda videos. It's shocking. And yet I know for other Christians, it may be inspiring to see that those Christians, when faced with their own death, their imminent death, were so prayerful and peaceful in the face of that. We have a situation in Nigeria, which is really bad with Boko Haram. People have followed the fact that, you know, hundreds of girls were abducted and months went by. They were not found. Some Nigerians have actually left for Chad and other adjoining countries to come back and fight against Boko Haram. They didn't feel that their own country was doing enough. And so those are the kinds of issues that the commission report brought up. The commission report didn't deal with one issue, though, which I think is really important. It was raised by Cardinal Dolan. Of course, this would be a greater concern to religious believers, perhaps, than secular audiences that might also be concerned with these attacks on religious minorities. And Cardinal Dolan spoke about the need for prayer. And, you know, I don't think we can underestimate that, Jeanette. I think back, I mean, I'm a bit older than perhaps some in our audience. And in the Cold War period, people were praying for, you know, for the release of Christians who were persecuted in the former Soviet Union, people in concentration camps. They prayed for the conversion of Russia. This may sound a little old-fashioned, but the church has always advocated for the need for prayer. And, of course, Absolutely. We're in the month of May right now. We just celebrated the feast day of Fatima. And Our Lady called on, you know, when the children had the vision of her in Fatima, she the very first apparition, she said, we have to pray for peace. So I was really struck, and we did a
that's right,
an editorial on this issue of this need to pray the rosary.
That's right. That editorial was at the beginning of May, and it you know, it spoke a lot about John Paul's insistence on the rosary and the need to pray it. It brought up Fatima and the fact that Mary told the children at Fatima to recite the rosary for the advancement of world peace. And one of the things that editorial spoke about was a bishop in Nigeria and his experience with the rosary. Why don't you tell our audience about that story?
To me, this is one of the most inspirational things I've read, and it was just a real wake-up call for me to make sure I was really trying to pray the rosary daily if I haven't been doing so. This bishop was in a diocese. He leads a diocese where the number of Catholics has been dramatically reduced as a result of violence from Boko Haram, another militant Islamic group. And so he was there praying praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And he said Jesus appeared to him and extended a sword. And he reached out to accept the sword, and the sword turned into a rosary. Mm. And then Jesus said to him, Boko Haram is gone. And the message for that Nigerian bishop was, we need to pray the rosary to vanquish this militant group and make the area free again and peaceful again. And the bishop said the Holy Spirit was pressing him to bring this message to his priests. He also spoke about it at an international forum for religious persecution. He wants all of us to be praying the rosary. And right. Just a reminder that it's easy for us to get focused on the bad news and wonder what we can do. Well, at the very least, we can pray the rosary. And the other thing I think that Cardinal Dolan brought up in his talk, in his 7-point plan to help stop religious persecution, was the need to provide humanitarian aid, and two groups he noted, really great organizations that have had a long history in places like Syria and Iraq, is Aid to the Church in Need and Catholic Near East Welfare Group. I also want to mention one other group that I blogged about. This is Father Keeley, who is a pastor in Connecticut, and he, after being really touched by the plight of persecuted Christians, started his own effort called Nazarene. Mm-hmm. And he has been offering products that have the N for Nazarene, which was drawn on the doors of Iraqi Christians in Mosul when Islamic State came there and forced them to leave or killed them.
Joan, I think those are excellent ways for us to support those who are in need, these humanitarian aid areas, and also to support them in total prayer. And I think we should all take up the rosary this month to do that. Thanks very much, Joan.
You're welcome, Jeanette.
When we return, what grade would you give colleges and universities if you would have been able to sit in their commencement addresses this year? Dan Burke talks to Cardinal Newman Society's Patrick Riley, and that's just a minute away. This is Elena Rodriguez on Register Radio, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay tuned.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, provider and protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Along with Dan Burke and Patrick Riley, I'm Elena Rodriguez, sitting in this week for Tom Price. So, universities and colleges are giving out grades to students at the end of the school year, right? But how about turning the tables on them and we give the grades to the universities and colleges? We have Patrick Riley here with us to talk about the 2015 commencement addresses, and he is pulling out his scorecard right now. The Register's Executive Director, Dan Burke, is here to lead the interview. Dan?
With graduation ceremonies on the horizon, we thought it would be a good time to draw our EWTN and Register audiences' attention to the health of Catholic institutions as reflected by their choice of commencement speakers. Joe Pronichin, a staff writer for the Register, has written a great piece for us entitled Commencement 15 Scorecard. And now we have with us Patrick Riley, president of the Cardinal Newman Society, whose mission is to promote and defend faithful Catholic education. Glad to have you with us, Patrick.
Great to be with you, Dan. Thank you.
So give us a bit of a rundown. I know there's good news and bad news and commencement speakers. Maybe we can hit the highlights of where's the best news and where's the worst news.
Well, sure. There's a lot of good news. You know, I mean, and the best news is that that the vast majority of Catholic colleges have good speakers, and some have ones that I think really highlight the Catholic identity of the colleges. Many of those are the good, strong, faithful colleges that most people know about. Franciscan University had Archbishop Laurie out there for its baccalaureate mass. Archbishop Laurie of Baltimore, who has led the bishop's efforts on religious freedom, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, should be invited at every college in the country for all that he's done for us and for the church. And then Lou Holtz was there to speak to the undergraduates, former coach at Notre Dame, and just a very faithful, good man. And the Duke and Duchess of Luxembourg, who not only are royalty, but are Catholic and very strongly pro-life and have really witnessed to the sanctity of life. And so, you know, a great example of the kind of thing that you want to be doing with your commencement if you want to bring honor to God and not simply to your secular reputation. There are other institutions that have had other speakers or other bishops. Christendom College had Bishop Laverty. They gave an honorary doctorate and had Dr. Alice von Hildebrand, who's just done a wonderful job of helping Catholics to understand the great vocation and importance of women in the church, and in a way that defies much of the radical feminist point of view, and she's done a great job. So Colleen Carroll Campbell of EWTN was at Immaculata University in Philadelphia. Cardinal DiNardo was at St. Edward's University. I mean, all of these are individuals who really highlight the Catholic identity of the institutions, and so we wanted to highlight them and to sort of say, attaboy, that's a great choice.
Now, on the other side, we have the negative. Now, before we jump into the negative, how indicative is it for the health of an institution in your experience? Because you don't just look at the commencement speakers to determine whether or not an institution is heading the right direction. You have many other measures, the guidelines of Ex Corde Ecclesiae, and other clear instruction from the church. How indicative is it when you have a commencement speaker that isn't living or advocating things in keeping with church teaching that college is off track?
Well, it's all in who we choose to honor. You know, we've been accused sometimes of trying to censor these colleges by issuing a list of ones that we think are inappropriate, but that's not really the issue here. The issue is, why do these colleges make these choices? And usually those choices are made at the highest levels of the institution. And so one would hope that a Catholic college would be looking for people who exemplify the ideals of the institution. And when you have individuals who are very publicly pro-abortion or doing other things contrary to the church on marriage or other issues, that's a real problem. But then second, of course, there's the letter of the law. The bishops made it very clear in 2004, they issued a public statement asking all Catholic institutions to not honor those who are publicly opposing Catholic teachings. And so every time that this is done, it's defying the bishops' express wishes, issued in that 2004 statement.
And so this isn't just Patrick making up his own rules as to the basis of judgment, but the document was Catholics in Political Life. Is that right? And it can be found on the USCCB website, can't
it? That's correct.
For this is Dan Burke with Patrick Riley, who's the president of the Cardinal Newman Society. And the Cardinal Newman Society's mission is to promote and defend faithful Catholic education. We're talking today about commencement speakers. So let's turn the corner, Patrick, and talk a bit about some of the more disappointing commencement speakers chosen by so-called or Catholic universities that hold up the ideal as being Catholic, but yet may be contradicting that by their selections.
Okay. Yeah, we've identified nine colleges out of the about 200 Catholic colleges and universities that have had speakers or honorees that we find inappropriate given their Catholic identity. And most of them, as usual, are politicians. You've got Congressman John Lewis, who's had 100% ratings with NARAL and voted on the pro-abortion record. He spoke at Georgetown University as well as at the College of Our Lady of the Elms in Massachusetts. And Georgetown also had the UN General Secretary, Ban Ki-moon, who has vocally advocated universal access to abortion around the world. Xavier University in Louisiana had former Senator Mary Landrieu, who has been somewhat conflicted on the issue of abortion all her life. I mean, she's Catholic, but her voting record has been rather poor with regard to these issues. Eric Holder and Magic Johnson, both of them not good with regard to Catholic teachings. Former Senator George Mitchell was at Sacred Heart University, and the Philadelphia mayor, Michael Nutter, was at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. You know, again, problems generally on abortion and also on marriage issues with these politicians. So, and then Paul Tagliabue, who was the former, most people would recognize that name, former NFL commissioner. He's also come out publicly in support of same-sex marriage, and so that was problematic to honor him at Loyola University.
And to give just a quick snippet there, to understand to the degree that Tagliabue is off the rails, if you will, that he and his wife, I guess, donated $100,000 to a same-sex marriage campaign in 2012 in Maryland. So.
Right.
It's not that they're kind of middle of the road Catholics or whoever, but these folks are often in aggressive opposition to church teaching, aren't they?
Yeah, and in his case, you know, for Catholics, it's even more disconcerting. He contributed $1 million to the LGBTQ Center at Georgetown University, which has caused a lot of problems at that institution in terms of Catholic identity. So, it's disappointing that these institutions feel that they need to choose some level of, I guess, secular prestige in honoring these individuals without due regard for their Catholic identity.
Now, something interesting that I can't remember if I heard it from you, but does it seem that the announcements for who is going to be commencement speaker have been withheld more of late in order to avoid this kind of criticism? Has that been a trend, or did I just make that up in my head?
No, that's clearly been a trend, sure. You know, Georgetown waits until almost the week before its commencement ceremonies, as do a number of institutions. You know, and I suppose that's a good public relations move, but if you're already setting up the system so that you can cover up what you're doing, then, it's clearly a problem if they're already anticipating that there might be some controversy.
And to bring this all down to kind of a practical conclusion, of course, I have two children of college age, and one went to Ave Maria, which in Florida, which was a great experience for her. I have another, my son is going to be heading off to Catholic University of America. Now, the basis upon which we chose which college they could attend, basically we gave them the Newman Guide and said, which of course you produce, and said, pick one, You know, they can't have one off this list. Would you say without equivocation that in any of these colleges where they have these kinds of commencement speakers, they're just not places we want to send our kids or our donations?
That's typically the case, yeah. But I wouldn't use commencement speaker as the only thing. You know, I think families have to look very carefully at institutions, top to bottom, and at everything that they do. And you know, we're all allowed mistakes, but and sometimes you know these colleges think that they have a good rationale, and often it's just rationalizing is what's going on. You know, if I could throw out one more example that I forgot about of sort of a good and a bad situation, and that is Cardinal Dolan, who is speaking at Le Moyne College in New York, an outstanding choice. However, more than 600 students have signed a petition opposing him, calling him homophobic and accusing him of being guilty of the sex abuse scandals within the church. And the college administration has come out publicly and defended these students in protesting the cardinal, even though it does appear that they are sticking with him as their choice.
Well, Patrick, our time is up. I'm grateful for all you do at the Cardinal Newman Society. And folks can find out more, of course. The Register article can be found over at ncregister.com entitled Commencement 15 Scorecard. And we have links there over to Patrick's work at the Cardinal Newman Society. Thanks for all you do, Patrick.
Thank you so much, Dan. Thanks for what you do.
And you can read more about Patrick Riley's analysis of the 2015 commencement addresses on ncregister.com and look for the keyword scorecard. You can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen, and you can even download the show. On behalf of Jeanette DeMello, Dan Burke, Joan Frawley Desmond, Patrick Riley, and Tom Price, and all of us here at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and at the National Catholic Register, thank you for joining us. This is Elena Rodriguez, and we will be here again next week for more of Register Radio.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.